is knocking at your door. See, there is somebody that can never get tired of your knocking. Anytime God
exposes himself to the Lord right now,
and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So far, we've been talking about essentials of the gospel, and we have been building on something which we called firm foundation. Are you with me? We began from the first Sunday in the month of May talking about, is there a God? Should the Bible be trusted? Did Jesus rise? Introduction to the gospel. And then last week Sunday, or two Sundays ago, we began to talk about the essentials of the gospel. We talked about the righteousness of God, the unrighteousness of man, that the righteousness of God in response to the unrighteousness and wickedness of man is judgment. However, in order for God to set us free from that judgment, he provided a ransom. Are you with me? The ransom in Christ Jesus. And then we talked about the fact that the work that Christ did for us is something that will last us for all eternity. It's not something that will last for 10 years or 100 years. What Christ offers you in redemption is for eternity. You must never forget that. So eventually, it turns out to be that that is the most important gift or the most important blessing you can get on this earth. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Eventually, when a man leaves this place into the afterlife, it is that substance of God, that redemptive work of Christ, that's all you have. And so this is the biggest deal. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And then we said the reason why it was possible was because God loves us with an everlasting love. Please, I want to encourage you, go back to the previous teachings. Have you been blessed so far? Go back. Let them enter you. Let the word of God, let the gospel enter you. The reason why I'm taking my time to flesh out the gospel like this is because if you don't understand the gospel, you won't understand anything.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You will struggle with everything.
Yes, sir.
You will struggle with faith. You will struggle with miracles. You will struggle with God's plan for your life. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Like on Wednesday when we talked about the love of God, how that you are loved by God. See. If you understand that one alone, you will not struggle with faith. Go and listen to that sermon. Say after me, I'm loved by God.
I am loved by God.
Some of you are not talking. Say it, I'm loved by God.
I am loved by God.
Today we want to look deeper into another essential of the gospel, which is called grace. Grace. Say after me, grace.
Grace.
Is there anybody here whose name is Grace? Oh, wow. Okay. Ephesians 2 from verse 8 to 9. Ephesians 2 from verse 8 to 9. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, look at that expression. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Say after me,
it is the gift of God.
You see that expression, the gift of God. That's what makes it grace. Meaning, there is nothing you could do to earn it. You don't deserve it. You cannot boast about it, right?
Yes, sir.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. If you see Romans 6 verse 23, it says the same thing. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." He's telling you, if God meted out what you deserve to you, if you are given the wage for your sins, you deserve to die. And like I explained last week and in previous sermons, he did not say the wages of sins. He said the wages of sin. So if you sin once, you deserve to die once. If you sin many times, you deserve to die many times. And it's only once a man can die. You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
But he didn't stop there. He says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Shout glory. So you look at that clause, the gift of God. It is the gift of God. And see, it is not the gift of God in the sense that it's just a useless gift. You know, people can give you gifts that you don't need, right?
Yes,
someone can give you a gift and it doesn't really mean much to you.
Somebody can give you a gift of a handkerchief, and while you appreciate it, you're like, wow, thank you. Somebody can give you a gift of a toy car, and it's a gift. But now, the gift that God gave us in Christ is a gift we desperately need. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift we desperately need, but we are so bankrupt to earn it. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
We are so bankrupt to earn it. Yet we desperately need it. It is just like someone who is on the hospital bed and needs a liver transplant. And they are doing maybe dialysis or something, and the person just needs someone to donate, do a liver transplant for him or her. But guess what? The family is so broke, they can't even afford the admission fee. Are you with me? And not only that, this person that is in need of this liver transplant is also known as a notorious evil person. And so the person is not deserving of the help. Are you with me?
Yes,
that's the picture of salvation. We need eternal life, but we don't qualify for it. We are so deep and depraved in sin, total depravity in sin. So we need eternal life, but yet we don't deserve it. Are you following me? And then God steps in and says, you don't deserve it. You couldn't earn it. There is nothing you can do to get it. But I will give it to you freely. Are you with me? I will give it to you freely. And if you look at the construction of Ephesians 2 from verse 8 to 9, you're going to see how that if you miss this essential in the gospel of Christ, you have disqualified yourself from salvation. If you don't understand this essential in the gospel of Christ, when a person is coming to God, trusting God to be saved or trying to receive salvation from God, if he comes with any iota of belief that he can do something to earn what Christ is giving, he has disqualified himself. This is serious. See, when you understand the Bible on a basic level, there are many things that will not bamboozle you. For instance, this thing resurfaces like every 10 years. I saw on YouTube, one guy said he died and went to hell. Who saw that video? Okay, you saw it. He said he died and went to hell, and he saw some pastors, some people in hell and all that. And when I heard it, I just laughed. I said, they are here again. They are here again. And now, guess, of course, you know what they are coming up with. See, some people did not cover their hair. Some people did not dress well in church, in their churches, so God condemned them to hell. Then he said he saw some pastors, the pastors that allowed sisters to come to church with short skirts. Those pastors. Pastors that not allowed their sisters to cover their hair. So that means you think that if you are modestly dressed, that is what you will use and buy your way to eternity. That's what you are saying. You see, the reason why we have to break it down like this, people can quote, "For by grace are you saved through faith," and they still believe that because they don't understand it. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
For instance, well, you hear people say things like, what do you know this sin that, you know, some people, you even see people preaching. You say, "I am preaching to you right now, you'll be saved. Nobody knows when the master will come. Nobody knows who is going to heaven. Even me that's standing right here in your front, I don't even know if I'm going to make it. But we know that if a person is completely righteous, if a person can be holy before God, he will make it." That means you don't even understand it.
Yes, sir.
Have you not heard things like this before?
Yes, sir.
That means you don't even understand the text. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast."
Glory.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
There is no boasting in it. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You cannot bring anything to brag. And by the way, for the people that think they went to hell and saw so, let me tell you, nobody comes from hell with a revelation for the church. Can I prove it to you? In Luke chapter 16, the rich man died and went to hell. Lazarus died and also went to hell, but he went to the good side of hell called Hades. Teaching for another day, but as at that time, nobody could enter into heaven because Jesus had not yet come. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Only through Jesus can a man go to heaven. So all the saints of old, all the ones that followed God in old time, they were kept in a good place called Hades. So as it were, if you read Luke 16, there was a gulf between the place of torment and the place where, as it were, where the people who served God or the good people stayed. And the people could talk. Now, Lazarus was on this side in Abraham's bosom. Are you with me? It was called Abraham's bosom. And then the rich man was also on the side of torment. And the rich man told Lazarus, because he was seeing that Lazarus was going to leave hell and go back to the earth. Are you following me? He told Lazarus, you are going. I have 5 brothers. Go back and tell them about a place called hell. You know what? Let's read it. Okay, verse 28. For I have 5 brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So it was obvious. Some people say this was the same Lazarus that died and Jesus resurrected. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Some people say, some people don't agree, but for Jesus to mention names, this was not a parable. This was not a parable. This was something that was happening. And I'll tell you why I don't agree that is that same Lazarus. I'll show you why. It says, I have 5 brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. We think that if we tell people about hell, about how there is suffering, a place of pain, a place that is what to bring them to Christ. Or that's what to bring them to salvation. Look at Jesus' response. Verse 29. Everybody read verse 29. 1, 2, 3, go.
Abraham
said unto them, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. That means if anybody comes and says, I died, I went to hell, and have a message for the church, Jesus said, I did not send you. They have Moses and the prophets. That means when this was happening, it was the period of the prophets. Are you with me? When you say Moses and the prophets, that's just the Hebrew way of saying they have the Old Testament Bible. And the Old Testament Bible was the only Bible they had as at this time when Jesus was doing this teaching.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So, it's not by scaring people and telling people about their address. No. For by grace are you saved.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me? For you to be saved, you must see your helplessness in salvation. You must see how you cannot earn it. You must see how you desperately need it, but there is no way you can earn it. You don't deserve it. That is the heart posture. Let me tell you, that is the kind of heart that God bestows salvation on. When you think you can buy your way, or you can bribe God, or you can do something to prove to God that you are worthy of his salvation, that's what disqualifies you. And I'm going to show you in the Bible in the next 2-3 minutes. Look at Luke chapter 18. Say after me, I'm blessed.
I am blessed.
This is so essential to the gospel. Luke 18 from verse 9. He says, and he spake this parable unto certain. You know what? Everybody read it. 1, 2, 3, go.
And he spake this parable
unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And they despise others. Do you see this? You see this, eh? There's so much to talk about it. Even after you have been saved by grace and you are growing spiritually, one mark that you are really growing is the way you handle people who are growing. Did you hear what I just said? One mark that you are growing is the way you handle people who are growing. There is a way we that are born again, you were saved by grace, but when you see somebody struggling, you're like, huh.
are going to hell. You foul, devilish sinner. God saved you by grace, oh, but he wants the person to be saved by works. So you want to change him? No, you don't have that power. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do. When we bring people to Christ and teach them the word of God, it is Christ that begins to walk inside them. Yes, sir. Are you with me? Well, let's go on. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Verse 10. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. Now, everything he was doing, are they good things? Yes. But there is a difference between trying to use your good deeds to prove to God that he must answer you or you must be saved. And there is a difference between that and producing good gifts because Christ is working in you.
Yes, sir.
There is a difference between good deeds as a fruit of salvation and trying to present your good deeds as a payment for salvation. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
But this guy was trying to present his good deeds as a payment for salvation. He says, I'm not like this other guy.
I fast twice a week. So now you must answer me. I give tithes of all I possess. I'm not as this sinner.
Verse 13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, meaning he came like this. And that's prophetic. I'm going to show you shortly. He came like this. So he couldn't lift up his eyes toward God, so he came like this. And then everybody read what he said. He smote upon his breast, saying, 1, 2, 3, go. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 14. Jesus is the one teaching us here. Are you with me? The way, the truth, and the life is teaching us. Everybody read verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Glory! When you read this, you just think it's a light thing. This one went to his house justified. Jesus is saying, that is the guy that God saved.
Yes, sir.
When he talks about we have justification by faith, that's what's happening there. That's the guy that God saved. The one that said, be merciful to me, a sinner. And remember, the Bible says he came like this. His head was smooth upon his breast. In those days, nobody comes to the temple to worship without their lamp. So that Pharisee that was bragging may have come with a lamp, but he was like this. Lord, I possess. I don't do like this. I'm not like this guy. And he ignored his lamp. But somebody else came with his lamp. And instead of boasting about what he has done or what he can do to bribe God or to get God to answer him, he was looking at his lamp saying, be merciful to me because I trust in the lamp. Remember, Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So, the one that came to God on the basis of the slain lamb was the one that God justified. The one that came on the basis of his own works and his own boasting, God condemned. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Salvation is by grace alone.
It's by grace alone.
Thank you, Lord. The final text for today, Luke 23, verse 39 to 43. Let me tell you why this is important. Sometimes people hear us teach grace like this and think that what we are saying is that God has forgiven you, God has granted you access into his kingdom freely, and so you can do whatever you like. The truth is, if you understand that you could not earn it, you don't deserve it, you will not do whatever you like. See, if you truly understand what was done for you, it will propel in you a desire to worship.
Yes,
are you with me?
Yes,
the last text. See, your worship is dependent on your revelation of his grace towards you. Praise the Lord. The way you handle God, the way you handle the things of God, the way you respond to God is based on if you understand what he has done for you. Luke 23, verse 39 to 43. So remember when Jesus was about to die, he was crucified with two other prisoners, right?
Yes, sir.
And there was one on the right hand, one on the left hand, and Jesus was on the middle cross. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Everybody, verse 41. "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss." Everybody, verse 42. "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Just like that. See, when Jesus saw that he met the requirement of the fact that I am suffering for my sins, but Jesus is suffering not for his sins. This man was completely righteous, yet he's killed like a common criminal. So who will get the blessings of his righteousness? When the man was able to discern that this person is suffering for something he did not commit, that means there must be somebody to get the blessings of his righteousness. You know what? Okay. Sir, I don't know if you have a kingdom, but please, if you have a kingdom, remember me. Remember me. And then Jesus looked at him and said, "You are ready now. You are ready. Because you see that you are not deserving of this thing. But you can say, Lord, you can have mercy on me. You can remember me. Now you are ready." He says, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." And I was just thinking about it. So imagine Jesus is entering into heaven. Then the man is following. Then the angel says, "Wait, who are you? Where are you coming from? What church do you attend?" He said, "Well, I've never been to church. I was crucified because I was a criminal. I was killed because I was a criminal. So I've never been to church. So how do you get here?" He said, "I don't know." Then he's still trying to enter. He's trying to enter. The angel says, "Wait. Why do you think you are going to? You are a criminal. You want to come in here?" Say, "This place is a place for perfect people. This is heaven." Say, "Well, I don't know." So wait, let's ask you a question. Do you know justification by faith? Have you heard of the doctrine of salvation by faith? Say, "Sir, I've never heard of any doctrine before." "Do you know about water baptism? Have you been dipped into the water?" Said, "Sir, I told you I was a criminal. So how did you get here?" Said, "I don't know. But one thing I know, the man on the middle cross told me I can come. The man on the middle cross told me I can come. The man on the middle cross told me I can come. I'm here simply because the man on the middle cross said you can come. So now, they said, who is the man on the middle cross? It's the guy that entered. Wait!
Hey!
He told you to come. Sir, you can enter."
Glory!
Something by grace alone.
Hallelujah!
Oh, Pastor, are you now saying people should just believe in his grace? The same text that says in Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," says in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." I want to ask you a question. The guy who Jesus said he will be with me in paradise, and just in one sweep, led from death, eternal death, to eternal life. Do you think if that guy left heaven and came back to earth, he will not serve Jesus? So, someone had an opportunity of meeting Christ just before he died. went to heaven and he knew that this, there is no way he will, in heaven he will know, I cannot be here on my own merit. It's a gift. Now, if that guy was on earth, do you think he will not worship Christ? Do you think he will not be committed? Do you think he will not be faithful? Do you think he will not take God seriously? He will. So he met Christ in death and was grateful for eternity. You that have met him in life, what are you doing with him? What are you doing with Christ now? How much are you worshiping him now? How much are you devoted to him now? The one that has given you something for all eternity. And let me tell you something. This is the beginning of all faith. Oh, pastor, see, I just want money. I just want to make it. All this one you are preaching is plenty of doctrine. I don't understand what you are preaching. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If he can settle my eternity forever, how much is my 120 years on this life? How much is, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
What is on this earth that is too big for him? Nothing.
Nothing.
Give him praise right now. Thank him. Thank him. Say after me, by grace alone. Say after me, Lord, I thank you for your grace. I boast in your grace alone. I celebrate your grace.
Glory.